Psalm 40, one of the most beautiful psalms, one of the most encouraging psalms. What a great testimony. Let's stand. I'll go ahead and read the 17 verses of this psalm. We'll read it all. We'll probably address about the first 11 verses in our message this morning. David writes, through inspiration of God, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy laws within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, though I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Just the reading of this psalm brings hope and encouragement. Lord, what sweet memories as we look back at the day that we were saved. And then, Lord, as we'll mention this morning, even times after salvation where it seems like, Lord, we get into these pits of despondency and trials and tribulations. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we look at the scriptures this morning, you'll encourage the hearts of your people. If there's someone here that's never been saved, Lord, I would ask that you would use the message this morning to help them to have a desire, that your Holy Spirit would bring them to that point of Holy Spirit conviction where they'd want to receive the wonderful gift of salvation provided by the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son. Lord, please, in the other services, Lord, may the Word of God go out with power. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to tell you in just a moment that this psalm is a psalm that's not primarily written by David through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as a testimony to his salvation. Although I could say that I can't read this song without thinking about what a wonderful thing it was to be saved. You know, just the very description of the pit in the first two verses, we see the pit was lonesome. This man was isolated in the pit. He was imprisoned in the pit. He could do nothing to help himself. This pit was noisome. That word horrible there, he brought me out of an horrible pit. If you check that word out, it literally means noisome or noisy. The noise in the pit, trying to drown out the misery, the noise, trying to drown out the truth. And a lost person oftentimes find themselves in a very lonesome situation, isolated from God. All of the noise of this world trying to drown out the message of God. The pit was tiresome. The miry clay, the mire, just trying to lift one foot, just trying to move around. The mire stealing your energy. The mire stalling your progress. We see the description of this pit, and we can certainly take that description and say, wow, that sure sounds like the condition of a lost man. Let me just spend a moment this morning addressing someone who is here and has never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. The pit David described here can certainly describe the state of a lost person without Christ. The pit is your lost state. The noise is the laughter of the demons of hell at your condition. The mire is the consequences of sin. And you know what? The struggle is you trying to help yourself. But you know what? All of that can be taken care of if you put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, what is salvation? Well, let me just define salvation this way. Salvation is the pit prayer of faith from the heart of a sinking sinner to the ear of a sinless Savior. The pit prayer of faith, the crying out of a man who realizes his lost condition, realizes he's under conviction of sin, and understands there's a Savior and just calls out. You know what, folks? People will try to help you while you're lost in the pit. A Catholic priest will come by, sprinkle the pit, and toss in a wine and a wafer, but you'll still be in the pit. A Christian Scientist will come along and say, you only think that you're in the pit. The Calvinist will come by and say, God created you for the pit. The TV evangelist will come by and say, if you send us $100, you'll get out of that pit. A Jehovah Witness will come by and say, I sure am glad I'm one of the 144,000 who's not in a pit. A Mormon will come by and say, you need to work your way out of the pit. The psychiatrist will come by and say, how does being in the pit make you feel? Amen. The optimist will come by and he'll see the man in the pit and say, things could be worse. And the pessimist will come by and see the man in the pit and say, things will get worse. Confucius will come by and he'll see the man in the pit and he'll say, in your next life, maybe you won't have to be in the pit. A Buddhist will come by and say, it's a shame I can't reach you or I would pull you out of the pit. But thank God, Jesus comes by. When Jesus comes by, he sees the man in the pit. He's moved with compassion. He climbs down into the pit and lifts the man out of the pit into the hands of the Father. That's why the Bible says here in this psalm, he brought me up also out of. He brought me up. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you're not saved, think of this. God sent his Son to deliver you from your lost condition. A faith in Christ produces the miracle of a new birth, and new birth gives new life. And you know what? Salvation does deliver us from that lost condition, that miry pit, puts our feet upon a rock, puts a new song in our heart. All of these things are certainly true. You know what? If you're lost here today, I'd like you to trade in your lost condition. I'd like you to trade in your pit for a purpose. I'd like you to trade in your pit for a song. I'd like you to trade in your pit for a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd like you to trade in your pit for a delight. He said in this verse, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God. All of a sudden, life will have meaning and purpose, and you'll find out God's created you for a reason, and it resets everything. Salvation is a new birth, a new start, and it takes you right out of that pit. Amen. Some people believe that the testimony of David is the testimony of his salvation. But let me say this, the people in the Old Testament, and I do want to mention this, they got saved the same way people in the New Testament got saved. Everyone who has ever been saved by grace through faith. In the Old Testament, their faith was a forward faith. Faith in the promise of the Messiah's coming. Faith that there would one day be the perfect Lamb of God to come and pay for the sins of the world. But in the New Testament, we look back and we see that that's already been accomplished, the finished work of Christ. But faith in Christ is the only way to heaven. I'd like to appeal to you that may be here without Jesus, you're saved. Look right up here, let me help you. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If the very asking of that question begins to cause a divine stirring in your heart, preacher, I'm convicted. Preacher, I'm concerned. God's speaking to my heart. I would like to appeal to you today to be saved. I went as best we could over the records. I'm sure we missed people. I'm just telling you, I'm sure we did. But in the Sunday morning services, either this one or the primary church or the junior church, you know what? Over 112 times, somebody heard the gospel preached by somebody with a Bible in 2011, walked into church lost, stepped from their pew, walked forward, got a hold of somebody's hand and say, I want to be saved. And when a Bible's taken and they knelt at an altar and they prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know what? Maybe that divine appointment, maybe that day of salvation for you is this morning. Listen, trade in your pit for a promise. What promise? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trading your pit for a person. I love this. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Trade in your pit for a position. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How about this? Trade in your pit for a palace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I did want to take a moment and preach on salvation. And I have no problem preaching salvation from this passage. But let me say to Christians this morning, I believe, after studying this, I believe that David did not write this psalm as a new believer. The writing of this psalm occurred as David returned to his throne after the attempt by Absalom, his son, to steal the kingdom. Now you think about this. This wasn't David being born again and a burst of praise because God got him out of a pit that was the pit of the damned, that was the pit of the lost. It wasn't that. It was David, who was already a man after God's own heart. David that was already a child of God. What are you saying, preacher? Wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying that as a Christian you can get yourself down in a pit? That's exactly what I'm saying. David just came out of a time where he experienced betrayal. Look right up here. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart here. He experienced betrayal by someone who was one of the closest people in the world to him. Somebody he loved. His own son betrayed him. David was just coming out of the pit of humiliation. I mean, folks, literally. The mighty men came and said, David, you have to vacate Jerusalem. You need to vacate the throne. And he covered himself and snuck out a side path and down a lonely road. You know what? He had to leave in humiliation. David experienced false accusation. All kinds of horrible things were being told about David. Remember Shimei that followed him along the hill and cast dirt in the air and mocked him and laughed at him and derided him? When he was down, Shimei decided to kick him while he was down. David experienced guilt. And let me just say this, the guilt was real, because I can't think that David didn't walk that trail and think back, you know what? As a son of God, I betrayed my father just not that long ago. And maybe I'm just reaping what I'm sowing. I should have sinned with Bathsheba. I disappointed my father. I betrayed my father. Maybe this is a little reaping when it comes to that. David experienced the heart-wrenching grief, because even though the war had been won and David's men fought against Absalom's men, that when the word came that Absalom was killed, David felt all of the emotions and all of the hurt and all of the pain that any father would feel at the demise of one of his children. All of these things David had gone through, all of these things combined had pushed David as a believer down into a pit. And David describes it this way: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of, think about this, an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. No, ultimately this is not a psalm about the pit of unbelief. It's not a salvation testimony. It's written by a Christian, a man after God's own heart, who spent time in a pit of despondency, a pit of despair. Watch this, a pit of demonic oppression, the pit of betrayal, the pit of self-guilt, the pit of self-loathing, the pit of disappointment in people, and greater disappointment of heart-wrenching loss. The truth was, David didn't write this psalm as a new believer. But David did write this psalm, and I hope this encourages us today, as a revived believer. Now, I want to say this to the Christians here today. Good Christians, look up here, good Christians sometimes spend time in the pits. Good Christians spend time in the pits. We can study the Bible, and I could give you a list of some amazing Christians. How about Joseph? Remember that? The 11th son of Jacob. And you know what? He had a dream. But you know what? As part of the preparation for that dream to be fulfilled in his life, his brothers threw him into a pit. Genesis chapter number 37. Joseph wanted to pursue a supernatural dream, but instead he ended up in a pit. How about Jacob's pit, the pit of spiritual purification? Job 33, God looketh upon me, and if any say I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. And we see that
Job speaks twice, also in Job chapter 23, about this experience that God asked him to go through. It literally, emotionally put him into a deep, dark pit, into miry clay. How about Jeremiah's pit? We go to Jeremiah chapter 38, the pit of steadfast preaching. You know what Jeremiah's only crime was? To show up to a backslidden nation and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And they got so sick of hearing him, they literally took him physically, arrested him, but didn't just throw him into prison. They took him to a pit in the prison and threw him down into the miry clay in the miry pit just for being steadfast in preaching the word of God. How about Brother Daniel? You talk about a great Christian who early on, as a young person, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And you know what? That purpose, that those convictions were tested, the pit of proving convictions. And you know what? The law was passed, and Daniel was told that it was against the law to pray to any god. But you see, Daniel had something that he'd been doing since he was a little boy. He opened the windows towards Jerusalem three times a day, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray. You know what? Daniel had to test whether or not that was a real conviction in his life. We'll throw, not only arrest you, we'll throw you in a pit of lions. You know what Daniel did? He went ahead and prayed. He ended up in that pit. So I want you to gain a little bit of encouragement this morning. Preacher, I feel like those first couple of verses kind of describe my place as a Christian right now. I am in a pit of despondency, or a pit of demonic oppression, or a pit of dire backsliding, or a pit of self-pity, or the pit of betrayal. Maybe somebody very close to you has hurt you. The pit of disappointment because of people or because of circumstances. Maybe somebody has horribly let you down, as Absalom let down David. And let me tell you, folks, the pit's real. The verse here describes it as horrible. If you just by nature go and look at the type of pit that's being described here, by nature, it's a deep pit. It's a dark pit. By nature, it's a confining pit. Fearful, restrictive, depressing. And let me give you this last one. Yes, even demonic. Yes, demonic. I think it's interesting. When I was doing a little word study on this word pit is the same word here that's used to describe Hades or hell. Now, he's not speaking of that in this, but it's the same word. I'm always a little careful when people talk about, well, you can experience hell on earth. I think sometimes before people say that, they ought to really probably read Luke chapter 16. I think we ought to be careful saying that, because the worst thing that you could ever go through on earth is not going to even be able to be compared to the eternal sufferings of those that end up in hell. But I do think that in the sense of the demonic oppression and the evil that sometimes accompanies you into this pit, because see, when Satan get you down into a pit as a Christian, he doesn't leave you down there alone. He goes right down in that pit with you. And it's amazing the things that he will whisper to you as you're in the pit. He'll say things like, "God has left you. God's left you." He says this to make you feel isolated and alone. He'll come to you and say, "See, God's forsaken you." Satan tells you this lie because he wants you to feel betrayed. He'll say, "You're helpless." And Satan will tell you this because he wants you to give up and think that there's just nothing you can do. He'll say, "Look, all is darkness." Satan tries to get you to give into the terror of your situation. "You're without hope." That's what the devil says at times like this. Satan wants you to feel like you'll never get out. He'll say, you're being treated unfairly." He'll say, "Why is it that you're the only one in the pit?" He wants to fill your life with bitterness. He'll say, "You should just give up and surrender. You should just quit." Satan wants you to despair, and Satan wants you to self-destruct. But let me tell you something, folks. Don't forget this. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. He's a liar. I want to encourage you with the truth. Say, "Preacher, those are the lies. What's the truth?" Here's the truth. You're not alone. God knows exactly where you're at. You're not forsaken. God is just preparing you for greatness. You're not helpless. You can cry unto the Lord. Hey, if you can't do anything else, you can cry unto the Lord. You're not helpless. You're not in darkness. You have the light. Not only that, you are the light of the world. You are not hopeless. This too, watch it, this too will pass. You are not being treated unfairly. The greatest Christians in the world have spent time in the pit. Don't get bitter. Let it make you better, not bitter. That's the truth. That's the truth. But the devil won't tell you the truth. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to just a few points in this formula. And we want to see what David did. Preacher, I'm stuck. I'm just caught. I just feel like I'm kind of caught in this miry clay. It's taken all of my energy, all my effort. It's wearing me out. You're right. It's lonesome and noisome and tiresome. It just feels like I'm spinning my wheels. I'm not making progress. I'm stuck where I'm at. Listen to me, because David was exactly where you are. And he gives great testimony to the ability of God to deliver in times of that we find ourselves in the pit. Now, let me just say this. You should not despair. I believe the greatest days of your Christian life are ahead. You shouldn't despair. Preacher, how do you handle it? Have you ever gotten down into one of these pits? Absolutely. Look right up here. Absolutely. I'm not a guy that goes and finds a pit and jumps in it. Matter of fact, I don't like being in a pit. I'm not a person that's naturally drawn to a pit. But if you live for God very long, you're going to find there's times when you, in your Christian life, just feel like you have fallen into a spiritual hole and you can't get out of it. Now, let me help you with some things. Number one, acknowledge that you're in a pit. Acknowledging you're in a pit. Now, let me tell you something, Christians. I appreciate this. I appreciate this about you. But a lot of times you'll walk up to a brother and sister in Christ and you'll say, "How you doing?" And they'll put a big smile on their face and say, "Oh, doing good, doing great." And the honest truth is, they're not doing good and they're not doing great. Well, if I just keep talking positively, I'll make it. You know what? Sometimes you need to say, "God, I'm in trouble. God, I'm in a bad place. God, I'm in a dark place. God, I feel stuck. I feel restricted. I feel oppressed." And you need to acknowledge where you're at. Admit where you're at. You know what, wives? Sometimes you need to say to your husband, "Just pray for me. I don't know if there's a thing you can do. And I'm not asking you to do anything. Just pray for me. I'll be honest with you. I feel like that right now I'm just in a not a good place." It's okay. That's okay. Husbands, sometimes you don't say, "Honey, listen, I'm not a whiner. I don't put off false alarms. But would you pray for your husband? It's right now, it just seems like I'm in a bad place. I need God to help me." Don't be afraid to go to one another. Hey, I hope you feel like you can do that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't be afraid to go to a brother in Christ or sister in Christ and just look at him and say, "Hey, could you just do something for me? Just pray for me." Richard, that's selfish. There's nothing selfish about it. Listen, they'll pray for you. 2 or 3 months down the road, they may be coming to you saying, "Would you pray for me?" There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we want to just go into denial. "I'm on the winning side," and we're not winning. "Victory in Jesus," and we're defeated. And so acknowledge that you're in the pit. Don't be afraid to say it. Number two, begin to cry unto the Lord. Now, that's what David said. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." You see, folks, let me give this to you. I believe the Lord allows us to get into situations where the only place that we can get help is from God. It's wonderful during times like this to ask people to pray for you, and people will pray for you, and that is important. But you know what? Sometimes God puts us in a situation where really there's no one that can do anything for us but God. We just need the Lord. And can I say this? That's not a bad place to be. Every once in a while, we need to have all of the exits closed and all of the exits locked and run out of options. And you know what? Be forced into a place where we can only look up to God and say, "Lord, I need your help. I need your help." I think sometimes God allows a Joseph to get in a pit so that when he's in the pit, there's only one way to look up. He can't look left, right. He can't look forward, back. All he can do is look up. I think God allows a Job to get into a pit. And you know what? He can't look to his left or right. He can't count on the friends that should have been friends. Instead, they come and they bring accusation. And he's tried to turn to this person and that person, and nobody seems to understand. And you know what? He finally cries out to God. And read the last part of a few chapters of Job. God shows up in his life. God shows up. I think every once in a while God will put you in a position where you have no other option but to stand for the truth, and it's going to cost you big time. And you know what? You're going to end up with Daniel down there in that pit with lions, but that's okay. You know what? Daniel wasn't alone. God was down in that pit with him. Christian, are you discouraged? Are you backslidden? Are you oppressed? Are you disillusioned? Are you in despair? Has the Christian life been lonesome and noisome and tiresome for a while? There's victory in God. It's time to trade up. It's time to begin to cry unto the Lord. Let me give you this third thought. Be patient for His deliverance. See, what we want in this microwave culture is instant everything. Well, preacher, I prayed. I did cry unto God. You know what? Good night. Nothing happened. Notice what David said. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Is it because God did not hear him? Is it because God has a set number of times that you have to cry before he'll move? No, God sometimes just knows that we need to spend a little time where he's allowed us to end up. And we need to spend some time seeking and seeking and seeking and asking and asking and asking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And in God's time, when he comes, it will mean more because of the time that we had to spend in that situation. So be patient for his deliverance. I waited patiently. Number four, prepare yourself to be used as never before. And I mean this. Preacher, I feel like I'm kind of in one of those pits. Listen, I've never in my life been put into one of those pits where God set me aside for a while and put me in a position where, you know what, it seemed like nothing was working and nothing was happening and nothing was right. And I was going through the motions, but it wasn't right. It just wasn't right. Where if I didn't finally begin to cry unto the Lord, God began to show me some things I needed to learn about me and myself. And he began to talk to me and prepare. You know what, folks? God will come down that pit with you. But you know what? He doesn't come down all of the time and just push you up right away. Sometimes he gets down in that pit and he says, listen, I'm coming to you in your circumstances. I'm coming to you in this condition. I'm going to sit down in this pit with you and we're going to talk about some things. But you know what he will do eventually? He'll say, have you learned what you need to learn? Have you listened to me? Are you ready? And then what happens next is wonderful. He says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now, let me tell you what happens. After God allows you to spend some time in that pit, he gets you out, and then he has a new purpose for you. He has, watch this, a new song for you. He has a new relationship for you. He has new delight in the will of God. The freedom, the joy, the liberty of being given a second chance. He gives you a new message. I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lord, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Why did David come out with this excited message about God and his righteousness and his glory and his mercy? I'll tell you why. Because he just experienced it for himself. God's going to take you out and he's going to give you a foundation. Remember what we're talking about? Founded upon a rock. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Every single time I've been down in the pit and God let me be there for a while until I began to cry out because there was nothing I could do. I just got to the end of myself. I just cried out. Before long, here he came. Just because he came doesn't mean everything changed in an instant. Sometimes he just wanted me to, in my circumstances, speak with him and talk with him. And he'd point at this and he'd point at that. Son, there's no way you'd be ready for the next thing if you didn't go through this. I want you to experience a new level of my mercy. I want you to experience a new level of my grace. I want you to have more compassion for people that are in the pit. You're not going to have that compassion if you never spend time in the pit. I want you to have a tear in your eye when you talk to people about me. I want you to have a song in your heart. I want to make you, listen, I want to give you a rebaptism, a revival of the Holy Spirit and His working in your life. Folks, listen to me. That usually happens to people who've had to spend a little time in the pit. In the pit. You know what? You'll come out and the songs will be different. Song service will be different. You know what we all do? Look right up here. We all do it. The Bible warns us about vain repetition in our prayers, but we do vain repetition in a lot of things.
Sometimes we just get up and we just, you know, turn into so-and-so, and we that have been raised in Baptist churches don't even need a songbook. You know, those of us been raised around the hymns of the faith, we don't need a song. We know these words, and we know them so well that we can sing them, and we can sing them so well we don't have to think about them. But it's amazing after you've been down in the pit a while, and the songs sung, a congregational song, and all of a sudden the words begin to mean something again to you. And he's able, he's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. See, some of you Christians wonder why there's certain times when Christians sing certain songs. Do you look over and they're weeping while they're, you know why? Probably they just got out of a pit. They probably just got out of a pit. And God gives you a new song. All of a sudden, everything means something. One of our precious people will come up and sing a special song. And you know what? Maybe that song, the last time they sang it, really just didn't mean a whole lot to you. You enjoyed it. It was a blessing. But it didn't. But all of a sudden, you are going through a pit experience. And those words are hope. They're a lifeline. They're what you need to hear. They're what you... Listen, you're learning that right now. That's where the new song is given. A new song in my heart. I love verse number 4, which says, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." And all of a sudden, folks, you know what? You realize, listen, look right up here, let me help you. People are great. I mean, people are great. But you know what? You need to be put sometime in situations where people can't help you. And all of a sudden, David come out of this situation and said this, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. I trusted in this and he let me down. I trusted in this person and they disappoint me. I thought surely this person would understand and they were good to me, but they didn't seem to understand. I thought this person would understand." And you know what? Pretty soon, I'm out of people to go to. God, what am I supposed to do? No man careth for my soul. And God says from heaven, "I do. I do. Why don't you put your trust in me? Put your trust in me." So all of a sudden you have a new relationship. You know what? All of a sudden you got a new delight. I love verse number 7. "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Sometimes God puts you down in a pit. And you know what? You want... Listen, God called you for a purpose. God prepared you for a purpose. And he gave you something to do and you were doing it. But maybe you weren't as excited about it. Maybe you weren't delighting in it like you should delight in it. Maybe you weren't. And all of a sudden, he put you in a situation where you can't do it for a while. Come on. And next thing you know, you're crying out to God. God lifts you up. He says, not only am I going to let you do what you were doing, but now you're ready to do some things you were not equipped to do. And all of a sudden, God broadens and enlarges your tent and gives you new grace and new will and something to do. And you know what? You can do it. I want to say this, and I want you to learn to say it with me. I want to say this morning. Here it is. Thank you, God, for the pits. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. It's not always been easy. Thank you for that. Thank you that times it's lonesome. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. If I was never lonely, how would I know how someone who lonely is lonely feels? Now, thank you that it was noisome, God. Thank you that it was noisome to the point where I couldn't think and I couldn't figure things out and I couldn't use logic. I couldn't use human knowledge. I couldn't use intellect. Thank you. Thank you that I didn't have anything to rest upon but the words of God and the wisdom of God, where I had to open this book and say, God, if I don't get something today, I'm not going to make it. You got to help me today. Thank you that it was tiresome. Thank you that I was in the mire and I struggled and I struggled and I tried with all that was in me. I wrung myself out physically. I wrung myself out emotionally. I wrung myself out spiritually. Thank you, God, that you put me in the mire and I fought against it till there was not one thing left in me. Thank you. Because like most of us, so humans, as long as we think we can fix something ourselves, we're going to keep trying to do it. But every once in a while, you know what? God just puts us in a situation where he's just going to let us thrash and fight and expend all of our energies and empty every fuel tank we have and spin. And you know what? When we are at the end of ourselves and we have nowhere else to look, God says, you want to talk to me about this now? You ready? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you getting this? So let me just encourage you. I don't know who's here. I don't know what goes on in everyone's life. I know some of the circumstances of some of our people, but for the most part, if you're like me, you're pretty private. Everything you're going through, you don't maybe share. You may seem to be fine, but maybe you're not. Let me just have you this week get up every morning, open to Psalms 40, and read, and then cry out, and then weep, and then listen, and read again, and cry out, and weep, and listen. And you know what you're going to find out? The same God that showed up and helped David out of that pit is the same God that loves you and cares about you and has something wonderful for you to do for him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach the Bible this morning. Lord, I pray for our people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray, dear God, I know that some are going through heartache, and I know some are going through testing, and I know some are experiencing a level of brokenness in their life. God, I know how the devil works. I know what a liar he is. Thank you for the testimony of David. Thank you, Lord, that after every storm there's a rainbow and the sun will shine again. The sun will shine. Thank you for the storms. May we learn in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd prepare here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church a pastor and a people. And Lord, yes, even if the preparation of us have to be with the use of pits in our life, Lord, prepare us, please. Do whatever you have to in our lives to get us ready so that we can serve you in a way that we've never served you before, love you in a way that we've never loved you before, obey you in a way we've never obeyed you before, and God, be able to help people, others, maybe in a way we've never been able to help others before. Bless our Christian folks, Lord. Bless our friends, our brethren. I pray for that one that may be here without Christ as their Savior. Lord, they just need salvation. They're lost. They're like 112 other people that walked into Blessed Hope Baptist Church sometime in 2011, sat down, and they heard the gospel. They heard hope. They heard about a God that loved them. They heard about a Savior who died for them. And thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for still being a great God that works in the hearts of people and brings them under conviction and convinces them of their need of Christ. And thank you, Lord, that people still are getting saved. Even in these last of the last days, there's still a harvest going on. I pray for that one that may be without Christ this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And I don't always do this, but I feel like the Lord would have me do it this morning. Preacher, you just prayed for me. You just prayed for me. The honest truth is, if I died right now, I don't know for sure what would happen. When you begin to talk about salvation and all that Jesus had done, you talk about being born again. Holy Spirit of God's bringing conviction in my life. If I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I fear what might happen. Jesus looked at a religious man, a good man, in the world's estimation, in John chapter 3, and said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you look on the timeline of your life from the place you are right now backwards? Can you find that place where the ingredients of salvation occurred? Just like the thief on the cross, you became convicted of your own sin, convinced of your own sinfulness, understanding that Jesus was the Savior, believing in Him, trusting in Him, calling upon Him. That thief looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Simple prayer, but the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, today thou be with me in paradise. Yeah, an old thief got saved. John chapter 3, a religious man got saved. Luke number chapter 14, a woman by the well with a checkered past got saved. I don't know who you are, I don't know where you're at, but I know this. Jesus loves old lost sinners.
He loves old lost sinners. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, I would want you to be saved. Preacher, I want to be saved. I know I need to be, and I know God's working on my heart. Let me pray for you. I'll just pray for you. I promise I won't embarrass you. Nobody will come get you. We don't do that here. But I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I do feel God working in my heart. Just pray for me, preacher. Would you just say a prayer for me? Would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. Preacher, I need to be saved. I see your hand right there. I see your hand right back there. Preacher, I need to be saved. I see your hand right there. God bless you. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. Anyone else? I see the hand back there. I see the hand right there. God bless you. I see the hand right over here. God bless you. Preacher, I need to be saved. You can put your hands down. I promised you I pray for you, and I will. After I get done praying for you, not yet, but after I get done praying for you, I'm going to have everyone stand, and I'm going to have the piano begin to play. And let me encourage you. We have men at the front here that if you'll come this morning, they'll get somebody. If you're a young lady or a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, they'll get a man to show you how to be saved. If you're a young man, we'll get somebody to help you. I know what it is to walk in a church lost. I know what it is to hear the gospel and fall under conviction. I know what it is. Thank God I know what it is. To lay my pride aside, go to an aisle, walk forward, and grab a preacher's hand and say, I'm lost. I need to be saved. You know what? Thank God. That man knelt down, took the Bible, and showed me how to be saved. And I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. And from that moment on, I've been able to lay my head on my pillow at night, not worry about eternity, not worry about what would happen if I was to die. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus had mercy on me and saved me. If you raised your hand just a second ago, I would encourage you in just a minute to step out and be saved. Heavenly Father, I promised these dear folks that I'd pray for them. Lord, I want to honor that. I pray for them, dear God. I pray, Lord, that today they would not listen to any excuse that Satan would give them. They would be saved today. They wouldn't put it off for one more minute. Thank you, God, that you've come. You've worked individually in their heart. You've spoken to them this morning. I thank you for that. Thank you that you're still a God that cares about individuals, that still communicates with people individually. Thank you for your great love, God. I pray for them, and I pray that they would come this morning and be saved.